Welcome to the 11th episode of our Dassault Systems podcast, Actually Why Not? Warum eigentlich nicht? We are exchanging with internal and with external guests about their career, the events and their Actually Why Not moments along this career. And besides this, we invite our guests to reflect with us, to exchange with us about the value of diversity in the respective context. Our aim is to raise awareness and to stimulate ideas, to value diversity and to encourage all of us to think about the possible or even the impossible. We are
Rita Weick
and Judith Wallner. I'm the host of this podcast today. Rita is in charge of the technical support, and our colleague Lina, who's usually with us, is unfortunately on sick leave today. Again, it's a special podcast session today because it's our first live session and it's part of our Eurocentral Diversity Days. Today, we've got a very special guest, Andrea Buga, Senior Vice President, Head of Defense Solutions at Airbus Defense and Space. Andrea, herzlich willkommen. Warm welcome. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here and looking forward to our exchange and, of course, sharing my experience so far.
Excellent. Thank you for your time and for your trust, Andrea. We will start talking about Andrea's career first and her role and the challenges of her current role. And in the third part of our podcast, we will then address the diversity topics. Andrea, to allow us and the audience to know you a little bit better, could you briefly reflect about the three key milestones in your career?
Yes, with pleasure. The first one was very early in my career. I started with a trainee program. At that time, it was called Eurocopter, Airbus Helicopters. After the trainee program, I started in a department managing all the contracts for commercial helicopters. And already after 1.5 years in that department, my boss left and I was asked to replace him. And that was clearly quite a surprise to me. But of course, it made the first step to change from a team member becoming a team lead. Even so, I had been the youngest in the team and the one with has been the shortest time in the team. That was clearly the first time where I had an exposure as leading a team. The significant second step was clearly some years later when I was asked to start a big program in the US. We won a $4 billion contract with the US Army. And I was asked if I would not like to start up this program, including production line services, engineering in the US. And so I moved with my husband at that time to Dallas, Texas, where we spent 4.5 years, and this was a great experience, but of course influencing not only my career, but my life. And then as a third major milestone, I would see the move from Airbus Helicopters to Airbus Defense and Space, moving to A400M, now 7 years ago, moving to Spain, where we lived in Sevilla. This was quite, let's say, a courageous step, knowing the challenges we have on A400M. But of course, that was also then the time where I became senior vice president, which I'm still today.
So this means you've been working in the aerospace and defense industry since
26 years.
26 years. Obviously, you only mentioned a couple of the key steps, but you did a super impressive career so far.
It was honestly not planned.
It just happened, or?
Not always. Mm-hmm. Some steps, I think I was seen as talent. And especially the first step, it was quite important to have someone who is, of course, giving you the trust, taking a role as a head of a department. And this is clearly also the why not moment. And when I thought about this question, this was, let's say, for me, the most why not moment in my life. Because when I was asked after 1.5 years in the team if I would like to become a team lead, I was first thinking, why do they ask me? How should I do it? I'm so young. I have no experience. And then I came back to my boss and I said, I'm not sure if I want to do it. And but then he said, I have now experienced you and that one day you would take over team anyway or make this next step. And then I thought again about it and I said, before someone else is becoming my boss, I'd rather do it myself. And that was somehow my motivation to say, okay, I have a boss who trusts me. And before having someone else as my boss where I'm not confident of, I'd rather do it myself.
Okay, that's interesting. Now you're a senior and a coach and a mentor, I guess, yourself. Which kind of advice would you give today, or do you give today, to young professionals in your organization you're working with when they have the same kind of situation?
My main advice is that they should have enough self-confidence to take it. There is not a high risk usually. So everybody has to do it the first time. Especially women are very much very concerned. Am I good enough? Can I do it? Do I have enough experience? And I always say it's a German expression. Also, the others only cook with water. So you should not underestimate yourself. It's really something, of course, you grow into, but you also get support, you get coaching, mentoring. That's advice I give usually.
Now, let's talk a bit more about your role today at Airbus Defence and Space. As Senior Vice President, Head of Defence, you are responsible for the development and integration of defence systems. What does your day-to-day job look like?
Of course, I only started 1st of January. So
I'm in this role, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in the steep learning curve still. So at the moment, it looks like at the beginning, of course, I visited all the sites to get to know the teams, the products. Of course, it's a lot of meetings with, let's say, also, of course, meetings my hierarchy is involved with to make decisions, share our financial situation. But also now I'm starting to meet the customers. And that's why also this week I go to Bonn, for example, as I explained before. And of course, I'm having a lot of one-to-ones to see how to develop the team, to understand what are the problems we are having, how can we improve certain things. We are also in a transformation, which is requiring quite some time to discuss how the whole CI business line CI can transform. It's a connected intelligence business line where I belong to. Mm-hmm. And of course, this also requires quite some time.
Coming back to your role and to what you've been experiencing over the past years, we thought about that the global situation today and the global events that happened in the recent years, in the past years, have brought a lot of disruption into your industry. Mm. So starting with the pandemic, where then there were no international flights, and obviously this had a big impact on aerospace companies first. Then, of course, we should mention climate change and the heavy debates that are ongoing on, is it still appropriate to take a plane or not for traveling? And last but not least, we also are still facing the terrible situation with the Ukraine war, where the defense business and defense industry probably has become a completely new image in media, at least. What is the impact of this in your context? Can you describe it or share this a bit with us?
Well, what you mentioned had different impact. Of course, with Corona, it had a big impact on how we are working and as Airbus as a company. Because when there were almost no flights anymore, we had to see how we get into kind of a survival mode. For my area, as we had been spread, it was in my former role, we had teams in 5 or 6 locations, so we worked remotely a lot already before. So from one day to the other, we could still continue working and delivering our projects. But what we have seen that we lost creativity, mm-hmm. and it was difficult to start new things, to resolve conflicts. And over time, I also had the feeling that the team spirit is a bit fading away. That's what I have seen also now with my new team, that we had a workshop in January. And you could really feel that there was a need of creating a team again. Mm-hmm. As working remotely is good. And I think we have now much more flexibility since Corona, but it does not replace also face-to-face meetings. And of course, with the Ukraine war, it changed the image of our mm-hmm. industry. It also had direct impact as we have trained even people from the Ukraine. It's a huge motivation for our teams to see that, even so for sad reasons, but that our products are working well and there is a strong motivation to support them. We have even had people in my team that canceled their holidays in order to be able to train people from the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. It's an extremely volatile situation and also outlook, and certainly strong impacts on, yeah, on the teams, as you said. Mm. Thank you for sharing this. As for all of our guests, Andrea, we've asked previous guests to formulate questions. And I've got two questions for you. One is from Professor Dr. Claudia Peus. She's a professor at the Technical University in Munich. She's Senior Vice President for Talent Management and Diversity and Founding Director of the Technical University Munich Institute for Lifelong Learning.
Liebe Frau Buga, Sie arbeiten ja in einem hochspannenden Bereich, von dem wir ja Zukunftsweisendes erwarten. Entsprechend würde mich sehr interessieren, was Sie in Ihrer Organisation tun, damit die Talente in all ihrer Vielfalt wirklich sich ständig weiterentwickeln und weiter lernen können und auch den Mut haben, in die Zukunft zu schauen.
Large question.
Yes, and of course I think something which had been already part of our work is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Maybe we never sold it like this, but in the area I'm working, we did it already for quite some time. That's why we really need strong talents. The way how we attract talents is by working closely with universities, having dual students, which is a concept, especially in Germany. We are hiring the young people, we get them into nice projects, and then develop them further. But we also need people with former military experience. Mm. Like, we have trainers, they are training soldiers in a role where they are using the system already for 10 years. So you cannot have a young guy from the university trying to explain those people how our systems are working. That's why we are recruiting a lot from the military side as well.
Our last guest only 2 weeks ago was Nina Wöss. Nina is co-founder of Female Founders, which is a pan-European organization supporting female startups, or startups founded by women. And they are providing networking support, know-how support, and also facilitating access to investments and to capital.
Liebe Frau Buga, ich freue mich schon, Sie via Podcast kennenzulernen und habe auch eine Frage für Sie mitgebracht. Inzwischen ist weitreichend bekannt, dass historisch gesehen viele Produkte und Lösungen auf eine Nutzergruppe optimiert werden, und zwar den weißen Mann. Können Sie uns einen Einblick geben, wie Airbus in der Produktentwicklung auf die Diversität der Anwenderinnen eingeht?
It's a difficult question, especially in my area. Even so, now we have also, of course, women in military. But I would say this is an aspect, of course, when you look at the way how we develop aircraft. Mm-hmm. Also when you look at the cockpit, we always have to fulfill a certain range so that also women or small men can fit into it as a tall man also. Mm-hmm. But this depends very much also on the requirements from the customers. But I would say for our defense solution topics, I don't see a difference depending on the user.
Yeah. Do you have an idea, or can you share an idea about the percentage of men and women working in these defense positions?
In my area, it's not even 20%, mm-hmm. close to.
Well, we are not in the defense industry, but our ratio of women in the company is around 23% only. So. Not that far away from yours. Actually, this is already the perfect segue to our last and third chapter of the podcast. But before doing that, maybe we make a quick check whether there are any questions related to your career and your role, to make sure that if our colleagues on the phone, on the screens, or in the room have questions.
Hello, my name is Thomas Pupida, working here in Dassault System, and knowing the customer Airbus, where Andrea is working quite well, I do have a question for you. I mean, I do see yet a lot of diversity looking at Airbus in general, in particular to defense and space by nation. So I see a lot of Spanish people, English people, but also comparing Dassault System, our company, a different industry with yours, I do see quite a lot women, not only in management positions, but in general. How would it come? And the second one, maybe easier, you have been working and living in other countries. You think that in other countries, despite from the language, they have a better understandable handling and ease of what diversity and gender means, because we obviously in Germany by language have a problem with that, I feel, at least.
Now, with regard to your first question, it's true that we have women at all management levels within Airbus, but the overall percentage is also not that high. We clearly have targets for hiring. Like this year, we have a clear target how many women shall be hired on new positions. But we also have the problem that the higher up you go in the hierarchy, the less women you have. And that's something I need to work out really in my area as well, because there the percentage is even lower in management positions. Like I have at the moment, no direct report, which is a woman. What's interesting is it's very different in other countries. Like when I moved to the US, which is now also 15, 16 years ago, diversity was not even a question. It was quite normal that you're a woman in such a role. They were more surprised about my age, because in the US it's more coming with seniority. And also from the historic reasons with how to integrate different nationalities, backgrounds, it was not such a topic. I was totally surprised when moving to Spain, because I started to build up my team and suddenly I had only women in my team. And I thought, oh, maybe I need to hire a man to have diversity. And it's true that in Spain, many more women studying technical subjects. And in addition, they continue working even when they have a family, not like in Germany, where a lot of women still staying at home.
You were just talking, Andrea, about the situation in Spain,
yes.
And that you were so surprised.
Yes, because there were many more women in technical positions, huh? And also in my team when I hired, and I just looked at the qualification, and suddenly I had many more women in the team. And it's true that they have a higher percentage at the universities in those areas.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting observation. And thank you very much, Thomas, for the two questions you were contributing. Actually, the second one was also part of our list, because we wanted to ask you what kind of cultural differences did you perceive in the working environment in the US and in Spain compared to the environment here in Germany?
In the US, I would say they're much closer than, for example, I worked a lot with French teams as well. I would say we are much closer with the German culture, that we are committing, we are on time, we finish on time, we start on time.
Do you mean the US culture and the German culture?
Hmm. What I learned in the US that it's very important to be good in presentation. I think that's what they already learned in kindergarten. So that's where I felt at ease quite from the beginning. What was interesting in Spain, when people say that they will, for example, deliver the aircraft next Monday, on Monday they will tell you, oh, maybe it's Wednesday. On Wednesday, maybe it's next week. And I was always wondering, why do they promise this? Do they want to be nice with me, or do they misplan? But I think because they are so optimistic, and they always thought, of course, we will deliver it on Monday because everything will go well, and then we deliver on Monday, not thinking it like the Germans, oh, what can happen? What are the risks? And this is something I had to learn, that maybe you have to include a little buffer because things may happen in between. But what I really enjoyed in Spain is the positive spirit of everybody, the motivation and the good mindset, even in a very challenging program. Whereas the Germans sometimes can always, they're suffering, everything is difficult, complaining. It's not everybody is the same, but I think in a bit, if you ask me for the big differences, mm-hmm. That's what I see.
Thank you for sharing your experience with regards to that international exposure and international diversity. You have told us, Andrea, that you have launched an initiative in Airbus to promote women in management positions, or in your department, in your business unit. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, we have dedicated trainings and networks for women. Also, what I'm doing personally is to meet with a talented woman to see how we can support them and to give them exposure.
What are, if I may ask from my HR perspective, what are the typical questions or doubts or maybe challenges these women are facing?
I think one of the big hurdles is that many managers are still looking for someone alike.
The mini-me.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And of course, this they won't find in that case. And I also need to challenge my team that you can take such a role even if you had not been served in the military.
But you need to create that awareness then mainly on the side of the management and not...
Yeah. And it's not only about women, but really not that also other profiles can fit well into it.
The value of diversity.
Yeah.
Our next question is a standard question, and we ask you to count, please, Andrea. We do our own non-academic little research and statistic on that one. And the question is, how many different managers did you have in your career so far? How many of them were women and how many of them were younger than you?
I would say I had at least 20. I had one woman and she was the only one which was younger than me.
An exception for two reasons.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, oh no, my current boss is also younger than me. I forgot about him.
Okay.
But not much, so that's why maybe I forgot about it.
Slightly improving the statistics. We happily add these numbers to our statistics because we're asking that question, as I said, to all our guests. And last year, when we made the final balance and stats last year, it turned out that our guests from last year had on average 10 managers in their career, or persons they considered as kind of superior and manager in manager positions. Only 11% of these managers were female, and only, I think, 3 or 4% were younger. We are following that statistics. It's also, as you mentioned, certainly a question of generation and age. I guess the younger we go with our guests, the more likely it is that they will have had more women as managers as well. But yeah, we are following up on that. So there's another question that we are asking or that we prepare for all our guests. It's a guessing question. So obviously it's not the same for every guest. For every guest, we are trying to find something that is illustrating the difference in diversity and the difference between men and women. We are referring to a study of EY and Young from 2021, which is looking at German DAX companies, so the 40 German DAX companies. Andrea, what do you guess? How much is the average difference in either euros or in percentage in the compensation package of men and the compensation package of women in the executive committees of the DAX companies, so the Vorstände? And we do exclude the chairman or the chairwoman of these executive committees.
My hope would be it's zero, but I guess it's...
The average package?
15%.
15% more or less?
Less.
For once, and we were surprised as well, according to that study, the package of the female members of these executive committees were 2.4% above
Wow.
packages of the male members of these executive committees. So it's not always what we would expect. However, we should certainly add that the year after, in 2022, the women ratio in these executive committees was around 21% only. So obviously, the absolute number and the ratio of women in these executive committees is lower, much lower than the male compared to their male colleagues. However, the fewer women apparently get slightly more. All right. Thank you very much, Andrea, for this inspiring insights that you shared with us, for the experience, for your opinion and the richness of perspectives you were sharing with us. It was a great pleasure for us to have you here in the 3D Experience Lab. Thank you for your time again, for your trust. We are looking forward then to share with you the final version of this podcast.
You're welcome.